It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to the latest episode of The Shamrock. I'm Pete Sampson, joined as always by Matt Fortuna. And today we've got a special guest, former Notre Dame defensive lineman Ian Williams, who went on to a successful career with the San Francisco 49ers, is in media in the Bay Area now. And he had some really good insights for us, kind of comparing his Notre Dame experience, the good, the bad, to what happened with his time with the San Francisco 49ers. Had a couple good Jim Harbaugh stories as well, but kind of some good insights about what makes a successful organization and what it takes to get there, because he's watched his alma mater go from up and down in his 4 years here to more than 40 wins, four straight 10-win seasons, and now on the verge of a second trip to the college football playoffs. So some good insights from former Notre Dame defensive lineman Ian Williams. Let's get to the interview. Ian out in the Bay Area now doing some cool things with the San Francisco 49ers, which I don't, technically, are they still the San Francisco 49ers or are they Arizona 49ers right now?
The Arizona 49ers as at the time being, especially with everything going out here in Santa Clara where, the cases are rising. So the county, they wanted to, do everything they could to put a stop to it. So they put a stop to, contact sports. So the team was just trying to figure out a place to be able to still be able to play football. They were thinking about San Diego, thinking about LA, but Arizona was the first city and team that reached out that allowed them to go and play football.
It's not the worst place in the world, but I guess I was, I wanted to jump into Notre Dame stuff, but I wanted to tie it to, you played for the 49ers, do work with the 49ers from media perspective. So you've sort of seen like good organizational structure and bad, like winning and losing. I wanted to tie that to Notre Dame a little bit, because Notre Dame is sort of like in a healthy organizational place right now, winning 10 games, four straight years. Like when you, from your time in the NFL and being around the NFL and like what works and what doesn't from an organization, are there parallels to some of those successes as it relates to what Brian Kelly is doing at Notre Dame right now?
Well, there's a lot that correlates. Obviously, having some type of respect for your players and your coaches and understanding that you have a great football mind and you're going to expect the most out of your players. You're going to expect professionalism and you're going to expect the best out of them on each play and each day that you have them in for meetings or practice or anything like that. So the same thing translates over to the pro game where if you're looking at what John Harbaugh or Jim Harbaugh used to do back in early portions of the decade when we were there and Colin Kaepernick, and we were going to, NFC championships and went to the Super Bowl. We had a lot of veteran players. We had a lot of good players and, we were able to obviously bring it together and play as one. And I think Notre Dame's doing a great job as playing as one right now. And they're playing to their strengths right now. You don't see the team lining up in empty formations, 50, 60 snaps out of the game. They're playing to their strengths and who they are. If you got a great running back in Kyren and you have a senior offensive line, a very veteran offensive line that's played together a lot, then you lean and you tend to fall behind and, play behind those guys. And I feel like, the Notre Dame's done a great job. Brian Kelly's done a great job since he got there in 2010. And he's built the foundation, and you've seen where this foundation has gone to our first season, where I think we went 8-5, and a couple of years later, they went to the national championship, and it didn't go well, but you started to see the light at the end of the tunnel of where Brian Kelly and this program could get if they started to continually recruited great players and you were in the national spotlight. Pretty much every season, you're going to get more and more players that are going to go and play for Notre Dame and play for you. So You know, Brian Kelly's done a great job just assembling a great coaching staff. That's one of the things that we had in San Francisco. We had a great coaching staff where, you know, Vic Fangio was our defensive coordinator, and he's a head coach now. We have multiple coordinators or assistants who are around the league right now doing great jobs for their team. So, you know, Brian Kelly's done a great job at peacefully putting together a great staff that can go out here and coach these players and make sure that they're competitive on Saturdays.
Ian, what's this year been like for you? How have you kind of digested this season? Do you have a game day routine? And, you know, we all come back to November 7th and that shining moment where they beat number one Clemson. What did that mean to you as an alum, as a person who bled and sweat so much for this program?
Well, I mean, it was a fun win to actually sit down and watch. And I think that was the night they were doing the things for the elections and stuff like that. So they had to switch it over to the USA Network and stuff like that. So I had my iPad going. I had the TV going. You know, I was watching both things. But it was just a huge win for the program, especially everything that's gone on this past year and the ups and downs throughout the program these past, you know, 10 years since, you know, Kelly's been there. And for it all to culminate in such a big win and the student body and the storm the field. You know, I understand, you know, people everywhere were like, you know, why would they storm the field? But if they understood, you know, the students, all the people who were there, they had did testing and stuff like that. And it was just a big moment. And I feel like, you know, people around the country who, you know, been either wanting Notre Dame to lose or they root for Notre Dame, you know, you got exactly what you wanted. Either way, you know, if you were a hater of Notre Dame, that salt was tasty. Yeah. And then if you're if you're rooting for Notre Dame, obviously it was a great day, and it's been a great season so far. But I just know for my my personal experiences, you know, my at San Francisco, our head trainer used to be Fergie. He was our head trainer at San Francisco. And he was a Clemson grad, so we used to always, you know, go back and forth. And then a couple guys that I played with, professional, they went to Clemson. So I sent them the little DM, just to send them a little regular Shamrock, you know, nothing crazy, you know, just a little Shamrock.
Nice plug for this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, just nothing crazy, but it's just an exciting moment, obviously. And, you know, I'm hoping the waters continue to boil and, you know, the team stays hot because, you know, you got to finish this thing out. You can't get to the top and fizzle out. You got to keep going and bubbling and erupt.
You know, when you played here, you were a teammate with freshman Tommy Reese, who is now, you know, up and coming offense coordinator here. But you're also on the ground floor with Brian Kelly and Mike Elston. And I was curious how you've sort of seen Kelly evolve from afar. And then also, I was curious what you think of the work that Elston has done to sort of make Notre Dame a place to be for defensive linemen. Because when you were here, I mean, Notre Dame was having a hell of a hard time recruiting defensive linemen. And now it seems like they've got a really stocked roster at that spot, which is kind of a big shift from your days when it seemed like it was much more of a challenge to find guys like Ian Williams who wanted to come to Notre Dame.
Yeah, well, with those three guys, and especially starting with Tommy Reese, you know, it's been amazing to see his transformation from where he was my senior year, his freshman year, and how he was able to take over for Dane Crist and start to play very well. And towards the back end of his career, you know, started to lead the team to some victories and did a great job. And you can always tell when he was there, he was such a coach on the field, and he understood the playbook, and everything just came to him so well. He may not have had the greatest arm strength or greatest arm talent, but he understood the game at a high level. And I feel like you see that on Saturdays now with his game plans and his concepts of what he likes to do with Ian Book and using his running backs and his receivers and tight ends and putting him in the best positions to succeed, because he was that type of quarterback where, you know, he wasn't going to throw the ball 50 times, but he was going to get the ball into his playmaker's hands and let them make plays. And he does that with the offense now. So it's been great to see Tommy and his evolution. I think, you know, in a few years, we're going to be talking about a possible head coaching job, and I'll hate for him to leave and go to another team. But, you know, I want to see this man prosper, and I'm loving his game plan and how he's calling football games. And then with Brian Kelly, you know, he's done a great job at just being a mentor for a lot of these young men. You know, when you come into a program, a lot of times when you're from South Carolina, Florida, Texas, California, you're coming from a long way from home. So you need, you know, coaches, and you need coaches like Coach Elston and Brian Kelly and Clark and, you know, all these coaches that the Notre Dame staff have, you know, to be, you know, kind of father figures and mentors for you. And Coach Kelly's been that, even though, you know, you may see the fiery passion on the sideline where his face turns red or he's yelling at you. That's just how life is going to be. He's not going to sugarcoat it. He's not going to make it easy for you how life is not going to be. He's going to get in your face and he's going to call you out. He's going to make sure you know and understand your job in that situation. And same thing if you were to transfer over to the business world. You know, they're not going to, you know, cut corners for and allow you to have a lackadaisical day or, you know, a bad project or something like that. They're going to, you know, get on you or you're going to get fired. So he's just trying to prepare these guys for life. You know, when you're 31 years old, like me, you know, you're going to have your ups and downs and you're going to have to learn how to rebound them. And I feel like Brian Kelly's done a great job at on the field, just making sure his guys understand. And then in the film room and in the practice facility where a lot of the work is done that a lot of the fans don't see that, you know, there's a lot of turnover where these guys have to get better and understand the playbook and be more professional because it's the next level that you want to get to. And you have to start to hone these skills in the college level to be able to be successful in the professional level and in the business level once you step outside of football. And then with Coach Elston, you know, he's done a great job at just being, you know, one of the guys. You know, even though he has that respect, he's a coach, you can still talk to him. I talk to Coach Elston, you know, every month or so, you know, just text him, you know, good luck or, you know, happy Thanksgiving, you know, his family and the girls are doing well. And, you know, I feel like he does a great job at making his home and his D-line room, especially when they're doing, you know, film and, you know, they're going through certain things that they want to look for when they're scheming up a offense that they're about to play. He makes it fun where you're not just sitting in the meeting room, you're looking at film, you're bored, you're going to sleep. He's talking to you, he's interacting with you, he's asking you about school, he's asking you about life, he's asking you about your dreams, your aspirations, he asks you about your fears, what, you know, what happened in your past, why didn't you play as well as you're playing right now, how can I help you play better, what can I do to help you play better, or do better in school or with study hall or whatever it is. And I feel like he's done a great job at that. And I feel like he's even gotten better and more comfortable since he's made the transition of coming to Notre Dame. And now he's been there for so long where this is his room now. This is his D-line room. And he's done a great job recruiting multiple guys and making it feel comfortable for guys to come up to Notre Dame. Because a lot of times when, you know, guys come into Notre Dame and, you know, it's cold, it's a smaller campus, or, you know, certain guys may be from the big city. So, you know, they like certain things. But if you can make a guy feel comfortable on campus and make him feel wanted and, you know, obviously, you know, stimulate his mind with football and, you know, how to get him better to be able to, you know, get to the next level and take care of his family, Coach Elston's done a great job at, you know, making guys feel at home.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ian, when you got to Notre Dame, you were entering a program that's coming off back-to-back BCS bowl appearances. When you left Notre Dame, you were kind of at the ground level of the start of what ended up becoming what's been a great tenure for Brian Kelly. And in between, you had three defense coordinators, I think, in 4 years. I mean, how would you just kind of characterize your 4 years at South Bend, the whirlwind it was and the ups and downs? I mean, it's probably not what you signed up for, I imagine, but what do you think you got out of it now that you have the benefit of time to look back?
You know what? I have to disagree with you. You know, I got everything that I needed out of Notre Dame. I mean, we may not have won a lot of football games, and you know, I know that's the standard, you know, at Notre Dame in football and sports, you want to win football games and stuff like that. But I felt like I got a lot out of Notre Dame just from the challenges of how hard school is, or, you know, being away from my family, or, you know, being at a different city, being in a cold region of the country, and just dealing with a different type of student body that I've never really been around. You know, these are a lot of you know, smart kids and from around the world, a lot of well-off kids from around the country. So it was a challenge for me to go to a different school and leave my mom and go to a different state. But I just feel like Notre Dame, over the time, it just challenged me and prepared me for, you know, life and what I'm dealing with right now and having to transition, you know, playing football and getting injured and having to transition to the corporate side and learning about certain things and wanting to learn about certain things. I felt like, I mean, if I probably went to another school and won a lot of football games and won a national championship or whatever like that, I probably wouldn't have the same adversity or same scars that I could see on my skin or see in my character if I had went to another school. So I just think, you know, where we were, you know, back in 2007 when I came in with Jimmy Clausen and Golden Tate and those guys and Harrison Smith, you know, we had so much potential and those guys are still playing great football. And we had a great class, the 2007 class, and we had some good classes to follow up that 2007 class. But, you know, we just had, you know, so much going on where we were up and down. We were, you know, great on offense, but we sucked on defense, or we were decent on defense and we sucked on offense. You know, it was just all over the place. But I feel like now with this coaching staff and with the foundation and the pedigree of this team now, you know, Coach Kelly's done a great job at changing the DNA where, you know, this offense line, you know, I feel like we're O-line you, you know, we're tight end you know, and we're getting to a point where we're linebacker you or D-line you, where we're just churning out guys and getting guys ready and guys are going to the pro game and we're like Romeo Okwara, like coming out of nowhere and playing great football. And, you know, that's what Notre Dame really is, where you're challenged and in the school setting and you're also challenged in the sports setting where you're always going to be on prime time, you know. No matter what it was, I remember we were playing Boston College 1 year and we were like, what, 2 and something. And we were still on prime time, you know, ABC at night and stuff like that. So they just challenge you to make you understand that, you know, there's a bigger level than what you're playing at right now. And you know, I wouldn't change, you know, going to another school for anything, even though, you know, you can have a ring here and there, national championship here and there. But I feel like the relationships that I've made with the guys that I played with and the walk-ons that I was able to interact with and learn so much more from, because if you go to any other school, you don't interact with these walk-ons like that. These walk-ons aren't, you know, going to be business starters or corporate people that you can talk to and run ideas off of and learn things from. You know, Notre Dame, you know, gave all that and more.
Yeah, I was curious about your perspective on this, because I think we ask a lot of people, or, you know, players, you know, how was your Notre Dame experience different from what you thought it would be when you showed up? But I was kind of curious, as somebody who's been around the NFL, played in the NFL for a while, how different is the Notre Dame experience from the one that you're maybe comparing or talking to your teammates or your colleagues who played at, you know, SEC schools or Big 12 schools or Pac-12 schools? Do you get a sense of how different Notre Dame is, you know, like on the back end when you're talking to teammates who played at other places?
I would say, you know, just talking about, you know, on the back end and my experiences at Notre Dame and how proud I am that I went there and graduated from there. Mm-hmm. As simple as, I think I'm answering your question correctly, but with Notre Dame, just as simple as my email, you know, I still have my alumni email from Notre Dame set up. And, anytime I use it anywhere else, you know, people literally like stop and they pause and they, you know, they start rubbing their chin or whatever. They're, and they're like looking at me. They want to say North Dakota. I don't know why I always get North Dakota. And then eventually it gets to Notre Dame. And then once, I'm telling you, once you say Notre Dame, it just, everything changes. I remember I was flying down to San Diego one time and my luggage had broke, like a wheel had broke on the luggage. And I took it to the luggage people at the little desk, the kiosk. And, you know, I was getting a new one changed out. And she was asking me for my alumni, my email. And I told her my email and she was like, Notre Dame. And it turned into a great conversation where her husband was a huge Notre Dame fan. We started talking, you know, 5-10 minutes later, and the, you know, I got a new $150 luggage, piece of luggage. And then I got a flight voucher and all these other type of things. And it was just crazy. You know, just all I did was mention Notre Dame. And then being out here in Santa Clara and, you know, the Silicon Valley, you know, the tech capital of the world, you know, it pulls weight out here too. And, mm-hmm. you know, you meet all these, you know, corporate people, these CEOs, these people in high up companies, C-suite jobs, and you start to talk to them and then they figure out that you went to Notre Dame. I'm telling you, it changes the whole subject and changes how they look at you, even though, you know, that could be a bad or a good thing, but this is why I went to Notre Dame. This is why you go to Notre Dame. This is what, you know, in your visits, you talk about these types of things. This is why you come to Notre Dame, because it's not a 4-year decision. It is a 40-year decision where I'm 30 and I'm 40. I'm still going to be able to make these connections because, oh, he went to Notre Dame. You know, he's a smart guy. And it's just opened up a lot of doors for me. And, you know, I couldn't say that about any other school. You know, a lot of guys, you know, we joke around about SEC schools. One of my good friends, he went to Alabama and, you know, he has his rings every now and then. He wants to show and he wants to stun and you know, show off the diamonds and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, there's more openings for a guy that went to, you know, a Stanford or Notre Dame or one of these big high up schools where, you know, it just is what it is, where they look at you differently. And like, all right, if you went to a successful school and you graduated from that school, you know what? You know, we're going to open the door for you. Now it's going to be up to you to, you know, obviously walk through that door, but these doors are going to be open for you because you went to a great school.
Ian Williams, the only person who's ever had a really great experience at an airport where he got something out of it. Usually,
hey, I'm telling you, it was wild. I got a free voucher and a free luggage. I'm like, man, this is crazy. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's been other instances where I just happened to meet somebody, you know, we start talking and, you know, you can all, you know, one thing about, you know, football and sports and stuff like that, where, you know, sometimes people start talking to you and, you know, they don't really engage with you as much. And because they're either on a different IQ level or they know something that you don't know. But I'm telling you, as soon as they figure out you went to Notre Dame or you have some kind of correlation because their grandfather, you know, was a big Notre Dame fan back in the day or their family, something like that, it just ties into Notre Dame. And, you know, it just opens up a friendship and a great conversation where you just made a great connection right there just because of the school that you went to. You mentioned, you know, two letters, ND.
I may have to make up an email address for next time I'm in airport trouble whenever we're back to flying again. Completely other subject or topic. You played for Jim Harbaugh. What is the best Jim Harbaugh story you have that you can share publicly?
Jim, man. Jim used to come onto the field, you know, because one thing about Jim, especially earlier in the decade where they were starting to try to figure out how much time should be allowed on the practice field. So, you know, Jim was always going to try to figure out how to keep guys on the field as much time as he could. You know, he didn't want guys to be lazy and lackadaisical. He was a former player, so he knew guys would try to get over on, you know, certain days and take it easy and stuff like that. So he would come out at certain times and have his full practice gear on. He'd put on a helmet, shoulder pads, leggings, his cleats, and he would come out there and he would do warm-ups with the quarterbacks. And he would kind of we would have scrimmages and he would, you know, be the scrimmage quarterback for us and stuff like that. So he would just have a great time with it. You know, obviously he was a good quarterback back in the day. So, you know, he would just come out and keep the spirit alive in practices. And then another thing that I always, you know, love that he did, every day we had a word of the day, you know, where, you know, you would have a young guy that would come in and he would have to get there early in the morning, 6 a.m. in the morning, and have to come up with a good phrase or a good motivation or some kind of tip that he would put on the whiteboard. And everybody, as they're going into meetings, you would see the word of the day, and it would be something motivational or, you know, something inspirational, something like that. And I still, you know, kind of think about it to this day. When I wake up, you know, I look for something motivational to keep me, you know, pushing for that day or that week. And, you know, it kind of ties back to, you know, what he used to do, just that small little thing where, you know, you had to remember, you know, I was a rookie back in the, that day, that time. So, you know, I couldn't forget or wake up late that day if it was my turn to write on the board word of the day. So it's just little things that he used to do because he was a former player. He understood the game. He understood how to be a professional, that he made the game fun, you know. And another thing that he did, you know, he did a segment called Teach the Game, where we would all, you know, all the guys on the team, we would sit in our team meeting room and we have the position coaches that would go up to the front and kind of explain their positions, what their positions are looking at, how they scheme, you know, and just the small intricacies and the techniques that that position does to attack an offense or a defense or whatever like that. And I just got so much knowledge from listening to our defensive backs coach or listening to our running backs coach or listening to our wide receivers coach, just listening to how they game plan and how they try to attack people. It was just great for a kid, 21, 22 years old and a rookie, to be around so many professional athletes, so many great athletes, Patrick Willis, Justin Smith, Joe Staley, all these other guys. And I was able to sit back and just learn from all these great coaches and these great players because, you know, they were just literally getting up in the front of the room and just putting all their knowledge out there for us to, you know, just to grasp and ingest. So those three things right there really stood out to me, even though those are just the tip of the iceberg. He did so many great things, but I just felt like, you know, those, you know, really stood out to me.
Well, Ian, we'll let you get out of here on this. You know, I was looking back at your career, thinking about it today, and, you know, you Coach Weiss and the Jimmy Clausen and, you know, going to Coach Kelly. And Notre Dame was such an up and down program back then. Like, and we talked about this earlier in the podcast, but I'm just curious, like, you look at Notre Dame now, like, just how impressed you are that not only is Notre Dame winning a lot, but like, it's a very stable, drama-free program right now. You know, and that was always sort of a challenge. That's where like Notre Dame wanted to go, where it was just sort of expected to win and everyone knew that it was going to win. And it seems like Coach Kelly sort of accomplished that, just how impressive that is to you as a football alumnus here.
Well, it's very impressive, but it all starts up front. If you want to win national championships, you want to win Super Bowls, you want to win any type of football game, you have to establish the line of scrimmage. That's where you win football. You know, if you want to simplify it as much as you can, if I get 3 yards every play, I'm going to be successful. You know what I'm saying? Especially if I go for it on fourth down. And I feel like, you know, with over these past 2 years since Brian Kelly's been there, he's done a great job at recruiting offensive linemen. And that's where you get the Ronnie Staley's, you get the Mike McGlinchey's, you get the guys who are there right now who've done a great job over their careers to establish and control their line of scrimmage. So when I'm watching these football games and they're handing the football off to Kyron or whoever's back there, running back, I just have a feeling they're going to get 3 to 4 yards every play because of how dominant that offensive line is. And then when you go over and you look at the defense line, they've been doing so well these past few years. Just Coach Elson's been doing a great job with technique and teaching these guys and getting them to the second, the next level. But that's where his bread and butter is. You know, he wants to line up and run the football. It's not all crazy where we got to look at the sideline, just go 5 wide and just put our fan base in a panic attack every time the ball leaves Ian Book's hand. You know, that hasn't been the case over these past few years. And he wants to run the football. He wants to simplify the game. He wants to slow the game down. And he wants to limit the mistakes that the offense can make. So he's done a great job at just allowing his team to, you know, be successful behind the big guys, either on offense and defense. And I feel like, you know, that's where the stability has come from these past few years. Just a great offensive line play. And guys just, you know, taking advantage of their opportunities whenever they get out there. You know, you got running backs, you got tight ends, who are just taking advantage of every opportunity, because these scouts, they see all this film, you know, that they're doing. Trimble, the tight end, I think he's phenomenal. And I think, you know, Kyle Shanahan out here in San Francisco would love a tight end like him because of, you know, his blocking abilities and what he can do in the passing game. So when you start to accumulate so many players like this that have so much talent, like Coach Kelly's done these past few years, it starts to pay dividends where you start to win multiple football games, and then you start to get into the big time games. You get to the college playoff. You're going to hopefully get to the Natty this year and contain and be competitive. And if you win the national championship this year, it's going to blow the top off of Notre Dame recruiting and anything that's Irish related in the country, because it's been bubbling up where people just want to see Notre Dame win. There's a lot of Notre Dame fans out there that don't really say or root or wear the gear, but they've just been waiting for a huge moment like the Clemson game or the national championship game, or to be able to play Clemson again and beat them in the ACC championship with Trevor Lawrence. So there's just a lot of great moments to come for Notre Dame and the fans. And then Brian Kelly has done a great job at just riding the wave. Enjoy it, ride the wave, and you know, have fun with this thing, because, you know, you see where we were back in 2010, where it was fun, but it wasn't as fun as it is right now, especially when you're winning football games and you're dominating teams just like they are right now.
Well said, Ian Williams. In case you didn't know, he's in media now. He knows how to give a good soundbite. So, Ian, we appreciate your insight on your Notre Dame experience, tying it to the 49ers and kind of what's happening next with Notre Dame. Always good to catch up with you, man. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, Ian. Hey,
fellas, man, I appreciate you, man. You always know, go Irish, and I'm here for you anytime.
All right, that was former Notre Dame defensive lineman Ian Williams. Thanks again to Ian for joining the show. One of my favorite guys to cover. Didn't get into the signing day story when I called him on the first Wednesday of February, way back in the day of 2007, just to make sure he was signing with Notre Dame. And he told me he was signing with Tennessee. There was sort of dead air on the phone for about 5 seconds. And he's like, I'm just messing with you. So yeah, character, great guy to cover, really fun player to watch. Thanks again for joining the show. That's it for our podcast this week. You may have heard that Notre Dame's in the ACC championship game against Clemson on December 19th. So we will have a loaded content plan for next week. Multiple podcasts, lots of good stuff on The Athletic about Notre Dame and Clemson and the ACC. We'll be sure to get Grace Rayner back on the show. She was awesome last time around for Clemson Part 1. And so we'll revisit what Clemson Part 2 has in store. So we'll have a ton of stuff next week for one of the biggest games of the college football calendar as Notre Dame goes for its first and probably only conference championship. So until then, he's Matt Fortuna. I'm Pete Sampson. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Shamrock.